kind of separated. And I was looking at the street typologies, and what I have is just a mixed use neighborhood, mixed use street is what's shown for this property.
Yes. Yeah. And then there is a I guess I'm sorry. Could you repeat the question again?
You go and look at the zoning code for the street type.
Yeah.
I think it's page, well, what page is this? Page 23, but I think PDF wise. It's under your street types. And I was just trying to understand all the connections that are coming into the site, which will help define kind of the frontage.
So like kind of what aspects of the
Because you have,
neighborhood mixed use street
yeah, you have a
plans?
neighborhood mixed use street, which ends right at that property line because that's the edge of the station area. But then you have this bridge, pedestrian bridge, that's further south. And what's the plan for that connection? If you're trying to make all these connections, there needs to be some plan. And I was just curious if the city had some plan for that area.
I'm not sure what the plan is at this time, but I am happy to look into that further.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions? I actually have several, as usual. I don't know if this is the right time to ask a question, but has staff done an initial evaluation of all the different concepts, and are each of them actually compliant with the current code? Or are any of the concepts not compliant or would require a departure?
They all would require a departure because of the easement width.
But
But
other than
other
that,
than that,
they're
they're
all,
compliant with the underlying.
even the basically the form-based code standards.
Yes.
Okay. So with regards to the departure, does the code have any criteria that could help the design review board make a better this recommendation for the applicant?
That's also a great question. So with the station area zoning, they did not create additional or special criteria for the design board to consider. The underlying criteria is the same as what we would use in our other design districts. And so from the code, it would be the two criteria that they would need to meet are that the request results in a superior design and fulfills the policy basis for the applicable design regulations and design guidelines. And the second is that the departure will not have any substantial detrimental effect on nearby properties and the city or the neighborhood.
That's good. Okay. At least we have something to, parameters to consider. And then, as far as with the form-based code portion, that's not something that we will be addressing tonight, right? We will assume that staff will take care of all of that because they're mostly dimensional requirements.
Correct.
Okay. All right. That's all I have. Now we would like to invite the applicant to do their presentation. Please make sure to introduce yourself. Thank you.
My name is Gary Nash. I live at 5835 108th Avenue in Houghton. And I'm the owner of the property we're viewing tonight. I'm also the developer and the architect on it. Little quick history. Just, I mean, yeah, I forgot to bring it up. As Peter stated, the site used to be a smaller site, which what was it, 80th Street coming through when the highway was came in and was cut off. There's an easement up front, which is an access and utility easement, and that one plan pretty much shows it. So that's part of the property, but it's cannot be built on. So my site is pretty much restricted to the north end of the property. I purchased this site probably some 25, 30 years ago now. It was my architectural office for quite a few years. I added on to it, remodeled it, and did a lot of things. Probably about 7, 8, 9 years ago, I built a new office building in an adjacent property. At the time, the zoning was different, and we went through the permit process, which was basically planning, public works, and building department. I might mention that Rob Jemmerman of the public works department at the time was very helpful in the development of that site. We had a tight site. We had no water, no way to run stormwater off, and he worked with me very closely on the stormwater, the rain garden, the parking, landscaping, and I've always thanked Rob for helping me get the project approved. Without him, it might have never got built. Anyway, that's sort of the history of that. When I developed this building, I always intended to do a similar office building next door on this site. Two things have happened since then. One, the market for office buildings have gone to zero. So it didn't make any sense to build another office building. And then, of course, the zoning changed. So I sat back for quite a few years while the city worked through the current new zoning to find out what I could and couldn't do on that site. The two benefits were I could build taller now. I was restricted to 25 feet. Now I could go to 40 feet. And the parking requirements were actually lessened a little bit. So with that information, I developed a new concept, which has been presented to you in several different forms. Originally, in starting to work with Peter, he said he needed three concepts. So my first three concepts were leave the building as it is, do an addition, or build a new building. Peter came back and said, no, that's not what you want. You want to design for three new buildings. I said, well, I want one building. I designed that. And he says, well, no, you need three new buildings. So I said, well, I'm an architect. I've been designing buildings and offices for many years and went back to architectural school a long time ago and said, well, you know, back then the professor would give you a project every week to design a new building and the different teams would come up with different ideas. So I sat down and I came up with three different buildings, which I presented to you, which I'm calling concept one, two, and three. Be honest, the concept one is the one I want to build. It's the only one that makes marketing sense. It's not an office. It's three living units with office space in it. I'm seeing, like a lot of people working from home, there's a demand, I think, for nice facilities where people can live there, do their work there, and have clients come over and have space for them. So that's the program of the building. As far as site development goes, I followed the same concept as we did on the building next door. It's a tight site. Stormwater was always an issue. Parking was always an issue. So what I'm proposing in this concept one, we'll call it, is I do have a rain garden. I do have biofiltration swales. I do have landscaping throughout, and I'm having a dry well underneath. The building next door, which we did a dry well, a rain garden, and pervious concrete, has worked out very well. We've been in and out for 7, 8 years. We've never had a problem with flooding. The rain garden works out very nicely. So I'm looking at the same concept here as far as site development. Parking is similar concept. This building is not much larger than the existing building. It's a that's a bigger footprint, so I did build bigger. So that's the first concept I put together. The second concept is a larger structure with parking underneath. And quite honestly, that was the my original design for this, but it became apparent on this type of site and this size structure, it wasn't economically feasible to build this building with the cost of the parking structure and everything else, so I backed off of that. Since Peter said I had to do three concepts, I did one other concept with more of a just a townhouse concept with, I think, six units across, parking underneath, living office, living area. The issue with that is it takes up most of the site, and I really didn't have any room for decent landscaping, additional parking, and all the, you know, the biofiltration swales, which I wanted to do. So I quite honestly put that together to see how it would work. And it's obviously not my favorite, and I don't think I'd ever want to build that from an economic standpoint. So that's where I'm at with this. I told Peter, I said, before I get too far with all this work, I'd really like the design review board to give me their initial concepts to let me know their thoughts. I've already told you the building I'd like to do, which is very similar to the one next door. It's a little bit bigger, and it's not an office. It's living areas with office space in it. I think that's what the market is right now. What the market's going to be in a few years, I don't know, and you don't know. As you probably know, this all new zoning was set up for office buildings and mass transit, and things have changed quite a bit since then. Google, I don't think, is going to be here anymore. And I don't see the buses being filled up that much anymore. So the concept I'm putting together, I think, addresses what I think the market will be in the next 10, 15 years. Not two. I can't think of anything to say besides what I've already done. So I'd be happy to answer any of your questions. Oh, the question of the pedestrian walkway along the west side of the site. I sat in on most of the planning review meetings when they were developing the code. And I asked that question a long time ago, and I never got an answer. And I don't think there is an answer. I'm hoping that if they ever do it, it would be on this on the right-of-way property, the west of the sound wall, and not on my property, because that would, any type of pedestrian easement on my property would wipe it out, put it that way. I might also mention, too, that in my preferred design, I don't have many windows facing west, primarily because of the sound. The highway is extremely loud. When I did the building we're in now, adjacent to it, before we put the windows in, I could not hear myself speak. It was so loud. We put in triple glazed windows and heavy insulation, and pretty much solved the sound problem. So there is a sound issue on that site. The sound wall is nice, but it doesn't really solve it in that too. So whatever I build in there, the west side will be pretty much solid with very few windows, if any, just because of that. We have good views to the north. We can see Mount Baker, sort of, besides Lee Johnson Chevrolet. And to the south, we have good views to basically put a residential area and trees and such too. To the east is my beautiful office building we'll be looking at. So anyway, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nash. Anyone else who wants to speak with your team? Are you good, Mr. Nash? Is that it?
But yeah, I'm
okay. You guys,
unless
good.
You've got questions.
I'm just gonna open it up.
I'm gonna sit down though, if you don't mind. No, you need the microphone.
Sure.
I'll stay here to answer any questions.
Or maybe sit in one of the chairs.
I'm fine here. I can.
In the middle.
I'm okay.
Design Review Board members, do you have any questions for the applicant? Sure, Supriya, go ahead.
Did you look at an option where the parking was to the back and the building was pushed in the front?
Well, I can't because there's an easement up front.
Right up to the easement? Did you look at an option where the building was right at the edge of the easement?
What was that again?
Did you look at an option where the building was right at the edge of the easement? Right now, the building is maybe, I don't know, 30 feet or 40 feet.
From the
setback,
easement?
Yeah.
No, because I wanted to stay, you know, the parking, I've only have one access, and I want to have the parking up front. It says the building needs to be in the back. If I move the building forward, I would lose parking spaces, and I wouldn't have enough parking. So, if I didn't have the big easement up in front, I could have put the building forward on the parking in back, but then you have to get back there. So now you've got a 15-foot fire access to the back and you've used up a lot of your property. So what I'm trying to do in this concept is maximize the property that I can put landscaping in, biofiltration swales, and that pop in the west to southwest corner, there's some nice vegetation in there. And one of the things I'd like to do is landscape that and perhaps have a bench or something in there. We get very little pedestrian traffic along that. The most pedestrian traffic is high school students in the afternoon when they get out of school, and they walk along there and throw their stuff out on that. But I think I suggested in the design that area would be, I think, a nice little public space. Whether we put some benches in there, I wouldn't want to make it too comfortable, but a nice place to rest. Right after this is the pedestrian bridge. And as I said, a lot of students for about an hour during the day walk down there. And the rest of the time, it's very little pedestrian traffic. The students use 118th is their parking lot. That during school session is always full of student cars, very nice expensive cars, I might say too. That's just an issue that we have to deal with. But I do want adequate parking. And I think by putting the building in the back of the site, it allows for me to maximize the unpaved area, you might say, in the landscape areas. It's important. The building adjacent is well landscaped, from the rain garden to the trees up front, trees along the side, all the way around. I don't like to say good landscaping hides bad architecture, but I do like to put nice landscaping around the entire building. And that's what I intend to do here.
So, Mr. Nash, can you point where is the, you said you have a rain garden and you have some sort of a garden for?
Well, okay, if we're looking at the site here, the lowest point in the site is in the northwest corner.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the obvious place to put the rain garden. Along the west side, I've got a biofiltration swale. The idea is that the runoff from the driveway will go onto the biofiltration swale first and then percolate down to the dry well. I do have percolation test on the site, just like it did next door. The site percolates very well. The adjacent site, we have never had any problems with the rain garden filling up. It's never, it's almost always empty. But anyway, the site perks will. So the concept being is the rainwater that comes off the roof will probably go into the dry well underneath the parking. And then the overflow from that, if any, will go into the valve filtration swale and then move down to the rain garden. And I have not run this by the Public Works Department yet, but as I said, the concept on the adjacent site was Rob Zimmerman's not here anymore, but he was very helpful on that site, very helpful. We came up with some good ideas. In fact, he even allowed me to put the rain garden 10 feet into the setback on that site because he wanted the rain garden so bad, and I had a hard time fitting it on the site. So he gave me 10 foot, and we got the Rob Zimmerman rain garden there, too.
And where were you saying people can sit?
A public space, if you go to the southwest corner, which is out of that point there, that's what's sort of left over from when they put the highway through. That's a wooded area right now. I've got one big fir tree and two or three smaller trees in there. And I would like to clean up that landscaping, save the trees, maybe put a park bench, little sitting area. I wouldn't want to put tables in that in there, but just a place to sit and enjoy it. It's sunny there in the summer sometimes, and it's a nice area. All along there now, I have locust trees planted. There's existing locust trees along that access easement, and I've kept them. I've planted some new ones, and they add, I can't even see my office building anymore from the street. The trees have grown up so much. So again, I'm very happy with the landscaping on both sites and want to keep it that way.
Okay, does the DRB have any other questions? Randall? Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. Yeah. I thought.
I'm a real estate agent, and one of the things I see.
Can you hear me now?
Better. Yes.
So I'm a real estate agent in the area, and one of the things that I see, I actually sold a townhouse like three blocks from this area, is like freeway noise. So you mentioned, I just wanted to hear a little bit more about the soundproofing that you were talking about on the...
On this proposed building, the elevations, I have no windows at this time along the highway side,
okay.
Which is also somewhat of a view. And I'm saying no, it is loud, especially when it's raining. You cannot hear yourself talk over the highway noise. So something that would make this building work is good sound insulation, especially on the west side. I have put windows to the north and south because that's the views. I don't have many windows to the east because you're looking into another office building. And as I said, along the west side, I would love to put some windows in there, but I think it would be a mistake from anybody wanting to rent or be that building if they stood there at those windows and heard the highway noise, they'd probably say, no, maybe not. So it's just a marketing thing that I don't want to do.
Okay, so the absence of the windows helps with the soundproofing.
Pardon?
The fact that there's no windows on the west side, that will help significantly with the soundproofing.
Strictly because of sound. If there wasn't sound, I would have windows along there. And I still could put windows in, but at this time, I don't think it's the right decision. And it was one I thought about. At one time, I had windows in there, and then when you stand there on a rainy day, you say, well, maybe not, not too.
I would agree with you on that, but I was just hoping that that alone would help with the sound, because I know how much sound is along that area. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's just my comment, my two cents.
Okay. Anyone else?
Yeah, I've got a question. We're going to be We're going to be needing to talk about frontage. And we need to understand that, because as we look at this, you've really got kind of two separate easements happening. You've got the access easement going over to the property next mm-hmm. door. So you've got the same entrance coming off of Northeast 80th. And then you've got the utility easement that pushes back. And so I guess it's a matter of understanding the design district options or choices, which we had like five, and none of them work. So you're going to be asking us to, you know, what kind of departure process or what has to happen on this and this type of thing, because I'm not quite sure how you'll do that. And so I don't know if this is a question for question for staff.
To me to respond, I've read through the new zoning a lot. And as you showed, most of it's for Google type of buildings and five-story apartments and that type of thing, which may or may not happen in the next 100 years. I don't know. But I don't see most of the things that the zoning is talking about really applies to this area and this type of building. Just like part of it was that the two streets up was going to be a main pedestrian corridor and such going into Lake Washington High School. It really didn't talk about this site. If you really look at the zoning map and that, it really doesn't address this corner that much of it. So that's why I'm here tonight. I don't know which way to go. I guess it's pretty vague when it comes to that, is how do you all interpret this on this site in this condition? I've tried to explain how we've got here. I don't think we're part of the Lee Johnson Google area. And I don't think we're part of the, 120th coming up to Lake Washington. You know, I could see that being a new development pedestrian area. This, to me, is not a pedestrian area. We get the high school students, and that's about it. But there's no market for doing storefronts and that type of thing here. The market up until a few years ago was office building. And it always, even all those buildings down the street were eventually going to be off. There's some condos down there now, but that's all changed.
You know? Well, I fully agree with you. And I guess I look to the city on this, to city staff, and that is that when you look at this, the concepts, the frontage concepts that you have are basically a combination of lots into a bigger development. And it doesn't take into account a single small lot development. And I'm not sure if that's intentional to try and push this type of facility out of this zone, or if it's exactly what's going on. Because the way I would look at it is a development side of it is a developer would want to come in and pick up that whole south end of that property, and this back corner would end up being the tail of the development and everything else would be focused somewhere else. But that isn't happening. And yet what you're doing is allowed by code, if we can get it to fit on the site. It's the way I read this, the way I see the code. And I mean, I don't think staff would present it to us if it didn't. If it wasn't something that actually worked on the site other than this one specific issue. And so I guess I'm at a loss. I'm trying to look at it and just say, how would I design it? Or how would I look at it? And
so, Randall, I have a couple of ideas and I can bring it up during our...
Go ahead, throw it out.
Yeah, but because right now we're just doing the questions.
Asking the question of us, and we need to understand what the question is before we really delve in to try and solve it. Because I don't, in reading the code, reading the area plan and all that type of thing, trying to get this thing to work is
that's where I'm at with this.
I give you credit for trying.
I'm very comfortable with form-based code. This is something I do every single day. And interestingly, reading this code, it's like the mini version of the code that I use on a daily basis. So I kind of have seen situations like this, very small sites, and having to make it more pedestrian friendly. And how do you do that when you have hardly any space for, you know, your driveway and your parking? And so I do appreciate the challenges of your property. So we'll definitely, I want to save what I have to say during our deliberation. And I do have some questions for you too, but I just wanted to.
That was my question.
Okay. Yeah. Tyler, do you have any?
I had to really exercise my back in the days when I used to do construction with my brother using old blueprints and stuff like that. I guess the question, well, first, again, how many parking spaces is that? 15 spaces?
I forgot. It's there somewhere. I can't see it from here.
Yeah, it's 15.
It's more than the required for residential.
Okay.
I originally started up for office space. And again, I don't want to be short on it. I think the city new zoning is a little short on their new parking requirements. They're assuming that people don't drive cars anymore to some extent. And I think that's a mistake. And I want to have a project where there's adequate parking, where I don't lose a potential buyer because there's not enough parking space. And again, I've worked the parking in. There's handicap. There's a standard places. There's compact spaces. I don't have spaces for bicycles yet. I will. I put bicycle racks in the building I'm in now. No one ever uses them, but they're there. And that too, I know that's a requirement. And I don't argue. I do ride a bike, but I put it inside where people won't steal it.
Okay. And then my other question is, so this here on the side, that's all the vegetation, right?
What's that?
Right here on the sides. Yes.
Yeah, that would that's be potentially a biofiltration swale.
Okay.
And be landscaping.
Okay.
That goes downhill to the rain garden.
And is there any regulation when it comes to the vegetation, like overgrowing into sidewalks, stuff like that?
Well, there's requirements for the rain garden, special types of plants you have to put in. For the biofiltration swale, there's certain types of plants and grasses you put in because I want that to filter the water as it runs down. So I said, I do have landscaping around all sides of the building, and I would like the dominant visual landscaping to be up front. So I said, there's the existing locust trees already and existing firs, and I'd want to keep those and enhance that landscaping. So if all goes well, from the street, you're not going to see the building that much.
Okay.
The building next door.
Gotcha. Yeah. So if you were to exit, and the only reason why I'm asking about the vegetation, because it just looks like it goes over a little bit, there's no blind spot if someone was to exit your building? So if they were wanting to turn?
No, the access is when I did the building next door adjacent, there was a driveway on 118th. They said, no, we only want one access and we want it right where it's at now. So I was tied into that access and that access easement. And as far as I know, the city's still going to dictate that will be the exit for both sites. It has the best visual as far as the site triangles and such on it.
Okay. And I guess my last question was referring back to, so you said that you didn't want to have any sort of windows on that one side of the building because of the noise that would be coming from the traffic. Has there been consideration if you were to use any sort of material, window material, that can block out that noise? Because you said there might be somewhat of a view. And does that also make it very different from the other?
I'm 100% agreement with you. As I said, the building next door My office is upstairs and I have nice windows looking out that way.
See.
When I first built the building and we were framing it up, when I climbed up on a ladder and I'm standing there in an open space looking out, I could not hear the person next to me talking. It was that loud. Triple glazed windows, tremendous insulation along those walls have solved the problems. That's exactly what I do. If it comes to be on that upper level of this new building, that windows seem to be a good solution, good views and such, I would put in small triple glazed windows from about 3 foot off the ground to about 5 feet and no bigger. I noticed also somewhere in the new code, there's something about windows and birds flying into them, which I'd never seen in a code before, but it's there somewhere. I had problems on this, my existing building, with woodpeckers coming in, major problem. So I will probably not use stucco on this new building because I found out that woodpeckers love to peck through stucco. So I will be using hardy board and metal and things like that on the exterior.
I hear you on that because I have a flicker that really loves my storm drain. Mm-hmm. And yep, trust me.
And they're protected species, too.
I know. I thought about a shotgun, but, you know. Anyways, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Nash. That's all I have.
Great. All right. So, Mr. Nash, I know that you are very intimately familiar with these two sites. You practically live here for years. And you know, I'm just curious. I know you created two other concepts, and we didn't really get to hear you talk about the other two. And I know because you preferred this one. Can you at least humor us and explain to us why the townhouse version doesn't work?
Well, primarily in the townhouse, I have parking underneath of each unit, which means I've got to bring the driveway all the way in.
And can we have that graphic?
Yeah, I have to go to the site there. Okay. So I've done a lot of townhouse units. I'm doing some now. They work nicely on bigger sites where you have more room. This is a tight site. And I purposely put this together because I said I'm familiar with doing them. But as you can see, if you have a driveway coming all the way in to get to all the units, and I could have turned the units sideways facing the other way, I would lose one or two units or make them so narrow they're not livable. And I did look at that, but it didn't work from a marketing standpoint. So I went ahead and put this together. And I said, I'm familiar with this type of design. It's just, I got it all done and said, Gary, it's all paving and building. There's no real room for landscaping and parking areas outside. So, you know, when Peter said, you got to put together three concepts, I said, okay, I'll put together three concepts. I'm an architect, I can do that. But this is one I'm familiar with, but I put it together, but said, I wouldn't want to build it. I don't think it's the right design. It just shows you that it could be put on the site. It's massive. It's, you know, it compared to the existing building next door or the proposed building I'd like to do, it's very big. It takes up a lot of space. If I cut it down to three or four units, it would be better, but then I don't think it would be marketable. Wouldn't be worthwhile. Plus, it's too big, too tall. They're all 40 foot tall, all three concepts, but the proposed concept is much smaller in footprint. And that's important to me, is leaving some of the space for landscaping in that. So that was an architectural exercise, you might say, to see what would work. But I wouldn't.
How much more impervious area does this version,
you know, or concept have? Quite honestly, never did a calculation on that because it became obvious in this looking at the drawing that besides the building and the driveways and that coming in, there is very little area left. And I don't like to create a site that's so impervious. In the proposal that I'd like, next door I use a semi-permeable asphalt parking lot, and only in a heavy rain does the water run off of it. In most rains, it never runs off the driveway, it just soaks in. In a heavy rain, it runs off into the rain garden. And that's what I thought I would like to do in this preferred project. I'm very sensitive, you might say, to where the rain garden, where's the rainwater going to go? I can't dump it onto the highway. They wouldn't like that. And there's nothing in the street I could drain to. So it's going to be an on-site system. So in my overall thinking design, I'm thinking not only of the building, but how do I handle the rainwater? How do I require and handle the land, the required landscaping, not just for city requirements, for my requirements for my marketing? I'm going to eventually have to sell this project, and I don't want to have negatives on it.
So, again, in terms of the rain gardens, have you thought about using pervious pavers?
Pervious pavers for the parking lot?
With this concept, in terms of managing your stormwater.
So if we're looking at this for stormwater, pervious pavers give you a 50% reduction in the amount of stormwater you have to do. But I still have to put the stormwater somewhere. And there's nowhere in the public, in the street, where I could take the stormwater. In other projects, you can control it and then dump it into the street and such. Here, I'm all below the street. I can't do that. So in this concept, I could take the whole parking lot and do it pervious concrete in that and put a big drywall underneath it. But it's not very pretty.
I'm not understanding. So your other concept has a large surface parking lot, which because I don't have any of the impervious area numbers, I can't really tell the difference between
switch back to it.
That concept and this concept.
No, go back to the site plan. That's it.
Yeah.
So in this concept, all the parking rainwater, first of all, goes into that drywall. That's that X in the middle of the thing. And that's a big area underneath.
Oh, so you do have a vault.
It's not a vault. It's a drywall. It's a big difference.
Oh, a well?
A drywall. What it is adjacent in the existing building next door, that thing that says lawn, underneath that lawn, there's about 6 truckloads of gravel, which is a drywall. All the water from the roof goes into that drywall first, and then if it ever flows over, which it hasn't, it flows into the rain garden. The water that doesn't absorb in the driveway goes into the rain garden. So in this new concept, the water off of the roof would go into that drywall, and the water off of the parking lot would go into the drywall. Any overflow from the drywall will go into the biofiltration along the west side, and that is a certain type of grass and plants that will basically purify the water as it goes down and slows it up. And then the last place it goes is into the rain garden, which works very well. And there are special plants. The city has a whole list of plants that go into your rain garden. And you see quite a few rain gardens around here now, too. They're used more and more, and they're a good idea. And much better than putting the big swimming pools underneath the parking lot. It's a better system. It's much less expensive than doing that, too. So, as I said, at the time, Rob Jerriman was promoting all these things, and he worked closely with me on it. And it works well.
Okay. And how about the other concept with the garage? That's the one where you said it's too expensive.
Well, two right. things. If you jump to that on the site, you'll see it's a much bigger footprint.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got all the parking underneath. And it all works. There's enough parking there. But we're looking at a parking structure underneath, which is a totally different structure than the units up above. And if I had more space, if I was doing a Google type of project or one of these five-story apartments going up around the city now with two or three levels of parking underneath, the cost is a lot higher. And it didn't make sense when you looked at the cost of doing that underground parking or underneath parking and then three units above it. For six units, it just, when you do the numbers, it didn't make sense. So
this concept, the garage is actually underground. It's not on the first floor.
It's not underground.
Okay.
Yeah, if you look at the section, I don't know if I have a section on that. It's the first level. And you drive down, you drive into the parking area. Yeah. I'm not burying it. I'm not trying to dig out a lot of dirt here. I'm just working with the existing grade on it. So in that concept, you drive down underneath, and then there's three levels above it. And since I'm limited to 40 feet, getting those three levels of residential didn't give me a lot of height ceilings. I think I'm at 9-foot ceilings there.
Regarding the bias well and the dry well, that's not a city requirement, right? That's you. You really want to provide.
I'm afraid it is a city requirement. I have to plan. I have to figure out the stormwater for the site.
Sure. But there's all kinds. There's different options for you.
On this site, no, because on normal sites where you can drain out to a public street, you could put your stormwater on the site, and after you've cleaned it, mm-hmm. you could go out into the city. Right, I'm below all the city requirements here, so all the city stormwater I can't dump onto the highway, especially since they put the sound wall in. So I have to find ways to make the stormwater work, and I'm going back to what Rob Jarrowman and I did on the adjacent site. I had the same problems here, and we came up with basically three systems: the dry well, the rain garden, and the pervious concrete. I didn't have room on that adjacent site to do a biofiltration swale, and I'm a strong believer in biofiltration swales. I think it slows up the water, it purifies the water, and by the time you get down to the rain garden, and rain gardens do a good job of, you know, purifying the water too. I've seen studies by the time the dirty water goes through a biofiltration swale in a rain garden, it's pretty pure by the time it comes out. And that's what I intend here too.
If you use the rain garden, basically the lowest portion of your site is on the northwest corner.
That's correct.
Is that why?
That's the lowest part of the site.
Okay. I see. Yeah. All right. Well, that's all I have as far as questions. Before we start our deliberation, we just wanted to make sure, do we have any members of the audience who want to address the DRB regarding this project?
I might finalize this. My purpose here tonight is to get direction, mm-hmm. which way to go.
Yes.
I've gone through this new zoning code more than once, and I'm lost, to be honest. And I just don't know which way to go.
Yes. Right. It's a difficult one, definitely.
Thank you.
Staff, do we have anyone online?
We don't.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Amy, I had one question.
Oh, okay.
So in the utility easement, you can have parking. Is that acceptable?
Yes. So they could have improvements that are typically going to be occupied by people. We don't restrict them from putting parking. Public Works has reviewed this and not added comments about needing to take the parking or pavement outside of the easement. And in other parts of the cities where we see this similar type of easement, we do allow parking or pavement on top of it.
What other uses can you have there? Is landscaping allowed? And yes. Okay.
Yep. Typically, they try to avoid large landscaping or large trees, anything that's going to grow to or develop to establish itself too much, because then it's more difficult for them to pull up and replace if they need to do work within the easement area. So this is quite a tricky thing that we're going to have to work through on this site.
Thank you.
Good question. So are we ready to have our deliberation? Okay. How about we'll just take turns. Supriya, since I can see your wheels turning, we'd love to hear what you have what you have to say.
I think what I'm really wanting to hear from the city is what their vision is for this area. I'm kind of not clear about if there are connections that they're expecting to make in this corner. Are they looking at the frontage that we looked at, the different options? Is that really applicable to this site? And is that the vision for the entire street for the future? Those are kind of the questions, because that will define where this building gets set. If the frontage is going to be the criteria for defining this, then the building definitely has to move south from where it is. And that will define a whole bunch of other requirements of how to manage stormwater, where to put the parking, how much impervious surface can be provided, all these other questions. But I think that frontage question is really tricky, because because there's already this access easement in front of it. So you're not really addressing the street no matter what you do, because there's already this, 20 feet access easement.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah,
the current curb cut there and the...
Yeah, and if you look at the frontage options, frontage options, they had less square feet, I think, in front, I think. Wasn't it 5 feet, 10 feet? Yeah. But then you have the 20 feet of access easement, and then you have a 30 feet of utility easement, which you can't build into. I don't know how much street frontage or the frontage types would really be applicable for this site. That's what I'm getting at. And would it actually make sense then to use this utility easement to create a public plaza or something like that if there are connections coming to it? Because just having a dead plaza in the middle of nowhere, who's going to use it? If there is a future connection coming there from that is going north and then connecting to the bridge across, I think that would make sense.
Well, I think if I think of a plaza here or some sort of an open space, it would just be for the residents. You know, it would be some sort of an amenity for them. Realistically, I mean, the type of pedestrian traffic in this part of, you know, the area, it isn't really meant for, you know, for the public to actually use that plaza.
Well, I was looking at their typologies for frontage, and they had a plaza option.
Yes.
The other one is private gardens, mm-hmm. which this is, again,
yeah.
there's a big 20-foot access easement.
So, right. And the private garden doesn't really work because of how small there's, you know, the the width of the lot is the one that's going to constrain how many units he can build. I also had the same concerns and questions, more questions really regarding the easements. And I think we need to understand the limitations, right, of what these easements can and cannot allow the applicant to do before we can even determine how to fit any of, or even to grant a departure.
Yeah.
Do you have any other comments?
No, those were kind of, you know, that's the reason why I was asking if there were other connections where there could be a public space that could be.
Mm-hmm.
But looks like that's not yet defined.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else who wants to go next? Randall?
Amy, you made a comment earlier that you deal with the form-based code day in and day out. What does that mean, and what does it do here for this situation?
Yeah, so in this, you know, earlier we saw the five typologies, and we were asked if any of those would apply, right? So, you know, one typology, which in fact Mr. Nash came up with, is having a garage. And if you have a garage, then instead of having surface parking lot right at the edge of this access easement, you can technically have more of a lobby space to, you know, to buffer the view of a surface parking lot or the garage from the street. Because if you do look at the form-based code, and every single image that we were shown by staff, pretty much we're seeing active uses, not necessarily retail, but it's showing occupied spaces, right? It's not garages that's fronting the street. So you can have that as one option. And again, I do have a project currently that's doing that, but you know, with respect to Mr. Nash, he was saying that it's going to cost him too much to do that. The second option is really the same idea that Supriya has. One of the typology had that plaza. So the opportunity here is to look at what does this access easement allow or does not allow. And then if you look at the configuration of the driveway, it's pretty wide at some area. And so the question is, what is the minimum width of driveway that the city requires? We've already heard from Mr. Nash that the location of that curb cut can't move. And I'm assuming there's a minimum distance from the intersection for his driveway access. And he said that that's really the best place for the sight distance triangle. So let's, you know, basically that's a given. We can't move it. But I see a really wide pavement that could potentially be narrowed down. And then he can have a little bit more space for this quote unquote plaza or some sort of a green space that can be used to buffer between his parking and the street. And I can see that as a compromise. It's still not ideal, but maybe if he can have a bigger area, you know, that can be, you know, an outdoor picnic area for his residents. And he already mentioned that there's a tree, an existing tree at the south, southwest corner. So if there's a way that we can extend that and expand it so that it reads more as a bigger garden somehow, you know, I think that, you know, that could be a good solution. I don't know what you guys think. I do like Mr. Nash's concept of treating his stormwater in a more sustainable way. In so many ways, it's more consistent with this green innovation district. And so I would hate to see him lose that. And I could use that as a rationale for saying that he has a better design or a superior design. But I also think that there might be some ways that we could visually screen, or require him to screen his surface parking lot, or somehow design something there. It could be even as simple as maybe some decorative trellis, or so that from the street you won't see the parking spaces. So those are some of my thoughts.
Can the utility easement and access easement be tweaked? Are there a lot of utilities in this utility easement?
There are. So I honestly don't have, I'm not as concerned as the utility easement because the utilities are all underground. So you can technically create an entire plaza on top, right? Or a garden or a park, a mini park. I'm more concerned about the access easement and not sure why and I don't know, staff, if this is something you can answer tonight, but is that still in the plans that the street will be expanded, or will that easement ultimately be vacated?
Are you saying the access easement?
Yeah.
That's inner property. That's private access from one property to the other.
Yeah, there's only
that's one. That's not a city easement. The other
easement. That's your private easement.
Yeah, that's the existing private easement that had to go into place when they did.
Yeah,
because they only have the one project curb cut
to the east.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Amy, let me just, since I ask you the question on the form base, so I understand that. I'm just trying to get my arms around this. Is that what you're saying? Is that as we look at this and you look at the different approaches, whether it's plaza or whatever we want to call it, you're looking for some form of buffer of the parking.
Correct.
Something that could show the active use
exactly
of the building.
Something alternative.
And then potentially a plaza, but a plaza for the or a use space for the residents, not a public use
space. Exactly.
So those... How do you get those on a tight site? Okay.
Yeah, it can be so, again, this is something that obviously I know that Mr. Nash provided more parking spaces than the minimum. And so, again, this is one of those things where he had to, he probably had to give up one parking space, right, in order to have that little plaza or, landscape area. The other interesting thing about this is the access easement doesn't follow the driveway, So again, this is one of those things, and Mr. Nash, with you owning both properties, If you could even basically do a I don't know what you call it, boundary line adjustment, or to adjust the location of your access easement, then you would have a little bit more area that you could use for landscaping.
I think the question there may be is, as you look at the sidewalk along Northeast 80th, and then you come through the curb cut, there's a section where the curb of the on the site turns right away to the east and doesn't go all the way to the access easement.
Right.
And can you move that curb and that part?
Expand it to make it like a larger landscape area.
Yeah, just move it up to where the access easement line is so that you get more landscaping in right there. But then that puts landscaping right into your triangle view spot.
That might be.
Is that driveway?
And that street is.
Is that driveway? And I just want to confirm this from the city as well. Is that driveway going in? Is that at street level right now? Okay. And so when we were talking about it could go lower or they could build on top, but I'm a little confused there.
Like the street curves up. So there is a little bit of a grade up as the street curves around to 80th, but where the curb cut is, it's essentially at grade. So I don't know if they would be able to go.
So this driveway, since it's, you know, we're going sort of towards a hill. So this second building, because they share the same access out, correct? They're going downhill, and these guys are a little bit more parallel to the street, while the other one's more a little bit up the hill.
Slightly.
Is that correct? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And again, one of the options was to have the parking go under. They were going to build under. Or they were going to try to build on top of it. That's the part I'm getting a disconnect.
It's not. It's on the same level.
Okay.
It's on the ground level.
Okay.
Yeah. So his units will be on the first floor.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That makes a little bit more sense. I mean, I definitely do have some comments, but I'm going to give it to the rest of my colleagues first.
Mm. And you don't have any other thoughts?
No, I just wanted
to clarify. Yeah.
It was just confusing because it looks like here that this is another entrance in some way.
Oh, I see. Where the tree is.
Where the tree is, yeah.
It's just the way it's drawn. Yeah. So the other thing that I was going to say, I know Mr. Nash was concerned about all the paving with the townhouse version. But, you know, I was actually thinking, well, you're next to the WashDOT's, you know, right away where it's all just, you know, berm or trees or whatever, you know.
There's a sound wall.
Oh, there's a sound wall. That's right. Yeah. I forgot about the sound wall. Because I was just going to say, well, you don't really have anything else over there. So it may not be a big deal to have the driveway there. Okay.
You know, as you look at, if you go back to the, I'm not sure what page this is on. Ward 22, the aerial photo and vicinity map, and you look at this, the drive that comes off of 80th you hardly even see the existing house that's back in there.
And that's what he was saying too.
Is that house lower than 80th?
5 foot lower than the street.
So as you look through there, the parking is going to drop down. And so it isn't as if the parking is going up to the building, the parking's dropping down.
Which is good news.
Yeah. And so I think
it's kind of
trying to figure out how to, you know, maintain the landscaping in the front, because as far as the bioswale, the rain garden, you know, great solution for site runoff and that without, because there's, given the different easements and everything, there's hardly a place to put a tank on
it's
it.
And such so I a think, small site.
I think you've executed the solution that actually works for the site and that. And so I would look at it that if there's a way to get more landscaping and just maintain, not able to really visually see the building that much, because it's residential and it's tucked in there, just kind of at the back end of this larger proposed development area. But yet it's ending up to be a buffer site. You're coming off of, you know, the townhomes across the street into this, and it's nothing more than a buffer site. And I mean, you look at it from a development perspective, it's a tough site. Even if you got all of the rest of the site, it'd be hard to do much because it's such a fishtail coming down to the end.
More than screening the building, I think more than it should be about screening the parking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what I was saying, because of the utility easement, what we heard is you don't want to put big trees, but
you can still do shrubs.
Yeah.
You can do like
it's nice that it's going down because you could do the shrubs. And yeah. I think if we had more into that access easement, eat into that, I think that would. I don't know if they can move the curb cut.
Well, and
east.
So I just want to clarify something. You're talking about screening the parking area, but that's not something that's in the designer view guidelines. It's only talking about screening trash and service areas. Is parking also considered?
So we're talking about screening the parking area because technically parking is not even allowed.
Correct.
Oh.
Frontages.
Yeah.
In the frontages. Okay.
Yeah. And so what is required on the frontage is an active use, meaning like it can be retail, restaurant, or even a lobby of a residential apartment building. So that's why earlier we saw images where everything was building, right? That's what is required. And so because of the easements on his property, it makes it very difficult. Even if we require that, it's still not going to achieve what is the code wants to achieve.
Mm.
And so the next step we do is we ask, what is the real intent, right, of that requirement? Mm. And the intent is that we really don't want dead space on the edge of the street where you have the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the typologies was that plaza. Because at least a plaza, even though there's no building, you can have people hanging out there, having a picnic, right? So it makes it active.
Yeah,
so that's the next best solution.
I see the word pedestrian friendly like 100 times in this document.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So I think the most we can do here is encourage the applicant to find some space for a little picnic area, right? Or and then use that also as a way for screening the parking lot. Tyler, I know you have some thoughts too.
I mean, just basically to concur from what you said. I mean, there's parts of this here that just reads a little confusing. So it's I'm just trying to wrap my head around what we can do, because like you said, there's definitely parts that don't meet up to code. My suggestion to the applicant also as well is, if there is a way to create, and like you said with the stormwater, I like that concept too. If there is a way to create some sort of area that offers, you know, that open environment, such as, you know, like a little garden or a picnic area, to obviously bring in something that's inviting. Also something that, you know, doesn't congest the traffic of the vehicles. So I understand that that's kind of a struggle there. You know, I feel like this is in the very beginning stages with everything that I've seen. And I think that there's still, like from what Randall said and Supriya said, there's things that we can suggest, but there's a lot of questions that need to be answered. And some of that has to fall onto the city. So my suggestion to the applicant at, you know, this time is to partner and see if there's certain questions that we have listed that can be addressed and move forward.
I have a question for staff. Given the form-based concepts, the five frontage concepts and that, what is the process to, I don't know if you call it a variance or a departure or what? Whatever, what's the process, or what is it that we're going to have to be approaching on that if we I mean, because I'm not sure. We've got to come up with justification of why we're doing what we're doing and allowing what we're doing. But what is the process on that?
Yes. So in the sub area, there are the frontage types, right? And three of them probably make the most sense for this subject property. It's the resident, the two residential and the plaza types, right? But what's coming up is because what makes this subject property difficult is because of the two easements, right, along the frontage. Otherwise, if those easements weren't there, I think it'd be a much easier conversation of, because the buildings will be closer to the street. There's no, mm-hmm. you know, they're going to comply with the maximum setback requirement, and therefore it's really then just focusing on the details of that space, right, and the building in that location. But because of the easements, now we're saying the building's going to have to be set back further than the maximum setback. So there's one departure. And then the second, so you're looking at then, I think that's what comes to mind initially. But the provision in the code that allows the DRB to grant a departure deals with, and Peter mentioned this earlier, is there has to be a superior design and it fulfills the policy basis. And as you guys were all talking, I was looking through the guidelines. So in the Green Innovation District, a lot of what you said in terms of the landscaping and the inviting space at the front, the screening of the parking, creating inviting spaces, those are all supported by the guidelines in the Green Innovation District. So an approach could be, and I think you were headed there, that is, it's like, hey, applicant, if in order for us to grant a departure, please show us, like, here are the Green Innovation District policies and guidelines. Please show us how you can meet these and to a certain extent exceed, maybe, you know, do something pretty nice, given the constraints on the site. So it's definitely an approach, and the process would be at the design response conference. It's really a matter of the board reviewing the applicant's response in terms of a site design, a landscape plan, maybe a little bit more context in terms of the guidelines, so that the board has something to chew on. Mm-hmm.
That's good. I think I'm comfortable with that.
So there's a pathway.
There is a pathway.
There's a pathway to get there. Now the question is from, you know, as the board in trying to help the applicant, does the applicant understand what we're asking for?
Well, I'm hoping that staff will assist the applicant in preparing their materials.
Yes, we would.
Definitely. Because technically he has, I mean, with a little tweaking, he's there, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so it's not a big lift to help him to get there.
I think there's a couple of things we need to confirm as well, because Supriya mentioned this in terms of the connection. So really, what is the city going to require in terms of connections, especially that north-south along the west? Where is that going to be located? And then based on the, I think it's the neighborhood mixed use street type, what is the city going to require along the actual right-of-way frontage? So that's like step one. Step two would be confirm the access easement and the actual improved driveway.
Mm-hmm.
Is there room on private property to create more open space based on that layout? Can that be reconfigured in any way? And then I think that's it for now.
So I would also add, you know, where the row of parking starts and where the easement line abuts it. I would also like to see some sort of a, you know, like screening, like a structural, you know, architectural element there as a double screen. Yeah. It may not even, And granted, you know, I guess we're kind of getting ahead, but you know, one of the things that would help at the next review is a site section so that we can see how, you know, the elevation goes down and what are you going to see from the sidewalk on Northeast 80th? And then we can get a better understanding of, you know, what is the appropriate screening for that parking lot.
Does it also include the materials for the building itself, right? Because this is going to be three stories. Is that right?
Yeah. So question about that. I'm not sure with the form-based code, do we actually have materials and color standards? Or did that all go away?
I think we would still have that authority. We would have to double check, but I don't know why we'd get rid of that.
Well, because of the way I read the code, I couldn't find any of them. So I wasn't sure if they still apply.
If you were to look at the guidelines, it like in terms of the building design, the articulation, it does talk about using materials and colors and
okay.
Reinforce it. So
but then we definitely would want
in that sense, you'd still want it.
Yeah. Yeah. So since we've started talking about materials that we would request the applicant to include for our next meeting.
Point of clarification. So okay. What we're basically saying as a group is our recommendation is option one. Just continue forward with option one, but look at this frontage issue to work into a departure format so that we can work through departure and work with staff to do that.
And
that point.
And tie it to one of the typology, which is the open space or plaza, right? And we'll be using that as a baseline and then departing from it.
Well, I think it would still be either the residential or the stoop, because it is really a residential type.
Uh-huh.
I think the plaza frontage is more for
like a
true plaza,
Okay.
Maybe we could
up
if, again those types.
Yeah.
The frontage type.
Yes, it would be the residential stoop porch or either the
private yard
type.
Yeah, I think these are still, when I look at the residential stoop and porch, it's so much about activation.
Yeah.
Like they have garden, private porch open out, which.
Yeah.
It's maybe more the residential
stoop.
It's
still a stretch, but.
And you've got a departure from the 10-foot, 20-foot.
Right.
Yeah.
Which the easement destroys all that. So, it's fairly straightforward that, but our request would be for, just how the landscaping would be enhanced and handled at that front area and then just to cover the parking as it. If the parking's dropping off, it doesn't have to be very tall
because
it covers itself by the curvature. Okay, now I think we're starting to talk about what other things that need to come in for the DRC.
So definitely a landscape plan, right? Site plan, site section. We talked about materials and colors.
So the driveway as well, making sure that we see how it's going down.
Mm-hmm. And we definitely want a confirmation that driveway can't move, that's a constraint, a site constraint that we have to work with, and how much of the access easement, granted that's a private access easement, so how much of that can be narrowed, if we can narrow it, so that we can have more outdoor park or garden space.
Not narrow the easement, but narrow the paving that's on that area.
Yeah, at the minimum, right? Because yeah. There's that.
You aren't going to change the easement. The property owner next door would probably not want that.
Well, he owns both of them. Yeah. Oh, it's already narrow.
So there's a nice. Come in there.
Excuse me, we need you to be on the microphone, sorry.
When you enter the property, you go in and it's a very sharp turn to the right to get to the building next door and access that. So it's already fairly narrow at that point. Mm. There is landscaping in front of the current building that's there that hides most of that, which could be brought back, I'm sure. I'm not an architect. I'm just taking notes. But the driveway thing, I don't think
we can give your name and address.
No, I don't think that we could move that because there's sewer coming in to that point.
I don't think that's necessarily.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, right. You need to come just back talking with about whatever. That, so. Whatever. We don't want to design it for you. You need to come back and say, okay, with what you have heard here tonight.
Yeah,
can you make that happen and make something? You know, just whatever it is, you may go back and have a.
Just trying to clarify, Tyler's.
You may have an aha moment and it's just like, okay, here's how we solve this. So
I think that, you know, just to break it down and make it easier is that we're just really wanting to see a lot more visualization of the property and get a really clear concept of what it is that you guys would like to put together and where that can meet with the code based off of the support and help of the city as well. And then we can really dive in and help from what we get from that information and the questions that we've asked and that the city knows, get a clearer concept of what we can do moving forward. That makes sense.
Then also developed elevations with color board.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yes.
We usually end up questioning color board. And
it's a good call out.
And developed elevations.
The material
and what else do we ask for? It's been so long.
We also usually have request a perspective, you know, whether it's axonometric or more of a, I think it would be advantageous for you to do one from the street level and looking to, you know, like what, I think again, the grade change is an advantage for you because probably from the street, you're not going to see a three-story building. It's probably going to look more like a two-story.
I have done those sections. I did not present them. One of the presentations is a section through the two buildings to show the relationship.
But Gary, can you come to the mic?
Do this. Yes. Oh.
Thank you.
As it's recorded.
Sorry about that. Gary Nash again. I have done several study sections through there, primarily for me to work out the grade, to see how the water is going to flow and the stormwater. And yes, the building will be sitting approximately 6 feet below the street. Let me ask a question. Have any of you been to the site?
I didn't get a chance to.
Okay.
If
you see the site, you'll get a better idea of what's there. I will comment that on the adjacent property, you cannot see the building barely, and you cannot see the parking lot because of the landscaping. I intend to do the same thing on this one. Between the grade elevation and the landscaping, I'd like to put in the visibility of cars and the building to some extent will not be visible from the street. The photos I included were from the street, and you probably saw there's not much you can see.
Yeah.
That too.
So the other advantage of your site is that you have a sound wall. So first, you don't really have any neighbors on that side. I'm sorry.
I guess that's an advantage.
In a way, because we're probably not going to be as concerned about the but we would still want to see what, you know, the relationship between the height of the sound wall and your building, right?
That I could do. I've looked at that too. I know the exact height of the sound wall and how it relates to the building, and I could put that in a section too. In fact, it was have that in the one section.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I've looked at all those sections are very important in a design, I think. I'm always trying to get my staff to draw more sections because it answers a lot of questions.
Great. Okay.
And I would like you all to visit the site if you could take time. Also, I think it'll answer a lot of questions.
I think we identified all the pertinent materials that we need for our next review.
Could I say one more thing?
Sure.
Please? Two things. First of all, I don't want to proceed in this project until I get some written comments from your discussion tonight and additional comments from the city. As I said in the beginning, I'm not sure what direction to go. You've given me some good feelings tonight, and I would like to proceed with that, but I don't want to waste my time and your time without getting some feedback from you. And secondly, I want to thank you all for your time. It's been a few hours in that too. It must be fun. And that, so thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right.
Yep.
So are we good, staff? Do you have any questions for us?
Nope.
Okay.
Respond to Gary. So we will prepare something in writing that summarizes the DRB's discussion tonight, and then staff will definitely work with you.
And planning department's interpretation of the code as pertaining to this site also?
Yes, and we'll also touch base with Public Works to make sure we're clear on what the pedestrian connections and right-of-way improvement requirements are going to be.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, I think we're done with this project review. And do we have any other items to discuss tonight? Or?
Well, I'm sorry, I thought I turned that off.
So, Mr. Nash, thank you so much for coming tonight and giving us actually, it's very refreshing to hear you do your presentation because it's like your storytelling. And we wish you the best. We look forward to seeing your next submittal. And I'm very confident staff can help you with that. Yeah.
I'm having fun with this project, so I'll be back. Hopefully without a cane. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Have a great night.
Okay, so are there any other items that you DRB members have that you feel like? I actually have one question, and I don't want to keep everybody here. And this is really a question for staff, and I don't know if you know the answer. But I was listening to the Planning Commission meeting last week, and there was someone in the audience who mentioned, it's so funny because they mentioned they're in support of the abolition or the elimination of the design review board. So I'm just curious, is that in the current comp plan amendment for consideration?
Wait, where's my paycheck? This.
Well, we don't want to be surprised one day. It's like, oh, you're fired.
Yeah, no. So we're aware there is that House bill. I think it's 1253 or 1293, where it talks about with design review boards, it would limit the design review board to only meet for one meeting on any particular project. And also as part of that, we have to develop design regulations and design guidelines that are not that subjective. So
we're currently strategizing how to address this, right? So how do we, as a city and a design review board, how do we create a process where there's only one meeting on any project? And so we're kind of scratching our head. Does that mean, is it front-loaded at the conceptual conference, or is it back-loaded at the design response? Is it just more upfront with staff? So there's all these questions, and we actually met with your counterparts, Amy, to talk about how Bellevue does their process. And Bellevue's like totally administrative. And personally, I would love to see the DRB stay around and participate in these projects, just from what, you know, you walk downtown, you walk through Tonem Lake, the board has done excellent in the projects in the past, and want to see that move forward. And I don't know necessarily that we have an issue with, you know, too many meetings, et cetera. So we'll figure this out. We'll probably bring it to the board at some point for discussion, but I think we have to have something adopted by next June.
Didn't they also, correct me if I'm wrong, they brought this to the table as well, and it got dissolved. Wasn't this also something that they brought up of eliminating the DRB last year, and they did not move forward with it? They were originally going to make it more of an administrative
legislature.
Yeah.
Then I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that got passed.
Yeah.
But it's not part of the current comp plan amendment.
Correct. Right. This would be a totally different process.
Uh huh.
Yep.
Okay. All right. That's all I need to know.
Yeah.
We appreciate not being suddenly surprised.
Stick around a little bit longer.
Okay.
For a motion to adjourn.
Yes.
I make a motion, we adjourn.
Anyone wants a second? All right. Anyone who is in support of the motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone in opposition? Nay? None? All right. With that, we are adjourning the meeting for tonight.